Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
The boxers have been given their instructions. The seconds are out. The crowd is ready for another edition of Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing with your presenter, the boxing historian, Greg Rashid.
And I want to say Swati Kup to everyone out there, and that means hello in Thai. And this is for all the new people who are listening in, but a lot of you listen all the time to the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. And I'm so happy to be your presenter today. And yes, if you're new to the program, I'm in Bangkok, Thailand. Really enjoying it. Been here since 2017. Love it being retired over here. And love doing this program. Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. If you're new to the program, I'll give a brief explanation. But basically what we do here is that we do what-if fights. You know, what if Muhammad Ali fought Tyson Fury? What if Mike Tyson fought Joe Louis? Because I know if you're listening to the program, you're a boxing fan. So you love boxing. You sit around with your buddies. Or you sit alone imagining, I wonder what happened. These two fighters got together. And we use various modalities to create these fights. Today we will be using Title Bout Boxing 2, created by the one and only Jim Trunza, PC game. Also, it's a card game. And we're just going to put two fighters in there and see what happens. And we have folks out there, and you can be one too. You can promote a fight. You can say, well, I wonder what would happen if this fighter would fight this fighter. And what they have to say. Except for folks like Tyson Fury, Usyk, Devin Haney, and Canelo Alvarez, I really don't have a lot of the new fighters yet. So a lot of, if you want to have an imaginary fight, mention someone from 2015 on back, and we'd love to do it. Even the turn of the 20th century had those fighters in all weight classes available. And also we have women fighters too. So if you want to do that, just wherever you're listening to this program, on YouTube, on X, on wherever you're listening to the program, just drop me online, as so many people do, and say, hey, I want to hear this fight today. I want to do that. And you'll be mentioned on the program, as so many people have been mentioned on this program. And if you're able to do it, go to my Patreon site, Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. Look for patreon.com and look for that. And donate what you can to keep us going. A dollar, whatever it is. So we can get better equipment, keep the lights on, keep a little everything going. Also, you can go to the site, Buy Me a Coffee, and donate a dollar, whatever you can. Let's keep things going. It's really helpful. Really appreciate it. You know, so we're going to get right now, and I have to say this too. Besides doing the fantasy fights, we also talk about real boxing. And also we do music on the program too, because it's all about fun. It's all about fun. And right now we're going to have Ruth come on, and she's going to talk about, because if you don't know now, if you know that Canelo beat Jaime Munguia, if you don't know that, what are you listening to this program for? But anyway, and I have to say, if you don't know, you'll learn something. Because one thing about this program, we educate. We do educate. So let's hear Ruth now talk about the latest going-ons with Canelo Alvarez on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Okay. Undisputed super middleweight champion Saul Canelo Alvarez, with 61 wins, 2 losses, 2 draws, and 39 knockouts, is refusing to be pressured into facing Mexican-American David Benavidez, who 28-0 with 24 knockouts. The 33-year-old Alvarez of Guadalajara retained his WBC, WBA, WBO, IBF, and Ring Magazine titles with a 12-round unanimous decision over Jamie Munguia 43-134 at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada on May 4. Tijuana's Munguia, 27, took the fight to Alvarez from the opening gong, but his aggression worked against him in the fourth round when he walked into a big right uppercut just before the bell. That moment served as the turning point in the bout as Alvarez began to pick Munguia apart, widening the gap on the scorecards down the stretch to win the bout 117-110, 116-111, and 115-112. Munguia became the first fellow Mexican to face Alvarez since Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. 7 years ago. "I could have finished the fight, but I took my time," said Alvarez. "That's why there's 12 rounds to see who's the best. I took my time and I don't want to make mistakes, so I did what I was supposed to do to win. Munguia is a strong fighter, you need to be careful with that. I just take my time. He's strong. He's smart. But he's a little slow, so I can do things fast and throw my punches and my combinations. That uppercut, you need to work to get that kind of combination. Munguia is definitely going to learn a lot. He did a good job, fought his hardest. I hit him in the body multiple times, but he's going to grow from this. He's going to learn and he's going to be better for it. As far as who my successor might be in boxing, I just hope that it might be a Mexican. Him or somebody else. I feel great. I feel proud about this fight. All the Mexicans enjoyed it and I feel great. I knew Munguia was going to be tough, he's a strong fighter. He has a lot of pride, but I did what I needed to do to win. I feel great with the victory. It always feels good, and we both did a really good fight. I'm grateful for everybody, my team. It's a big win for Mexico. We're both Mexicans. I feel proud about it. I think people enjoyed it a lot. I take away his bravery. I always try to take the good things out of every fight. With this one, I still have to process it. I can't really go into that much detail, but I take his bravery away from this fight because he was hurt and he still came forward and still tried, and being that brave is something that I admire. Benavidez will return to the ring at light heavyweight when he faces Alexander Gvozdik with 20 wins and 1 loss and 16 knockouts at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada on June 15. The 27-year-old from Phoenix, Arizona is considered the number one contender to Alvarez's throne, but so far the Mexican superstar has refused to face him. We'll see. We'll see. I'm gonna rest and talk with my team, and like I said, everybody's asking for everything, Alvarez said. When I retire, my numbers will say what position I'm in. I know there's a lot of great Mexican fighters in the past, but I'm the best fighting right now. I'm gonna rest and enjoy my family. If the money is right, I can fight right now. I always fight with everybody, but right now I'm in the position I can ask him to, and I can do whatever I want. We'll see what happens next.
Yeah, that was Emma there talking about Canelo Alvarez. And I have to say, it's been in the back of my mind. And by the way, I did say that Munguia was going to beat Alvarez. So what do I know? But I am the boxing historian. But, you know, the more I look at Canelo and look at all his fights and all, I'm beginning to put him in my top 10 as far as middleweights of all time. What about you? Are you doing the same thing? Are you thinking about him that way? Because he's tough. He's something else. I really appreciate his style. Really like what he's doing. You know, but what do you think? You think he's a top 10 middleweight all time? Or is really just, you know, he's just someone in the bottom, you know, maybe the top 25. But let me know. You know, give me a holler online and just let me know what you think. But we're going to have now Ruth. She's going to talk about, what will she do here? She's going to talk about this little incident between Tank Davis and Devin Haney. So let's hear that on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Gervonta Davis came face-to-face with Devin Haney as both fighters almost came to blows. Davis is preparing to box Frank Martin on June 15th to defend his WBA lightweight title. He has not boxed since stopping Ryan Garcia last year. Davis served 44 days in jail for breaking his house arrest conditions over a hit and run. Meanwhile, Garcia bounced back with his biggest career win, beating Haney. Garcia's failed VADA test for Osterin has now cast doubt over that win. Garcia must prove his innocence, or he could face a ban and have the result overturned. Davis has defended Garcia, saying he believes he is innocent. Tank has also been trolling Haney over that loss. Before the Garcia fight, Team Haney was accusing Davis of ducking him. They were both at 135, but Haney had to move up to 140. Team Haney called on Davis to move up to 140 and face him without a rehydration clause. The fight could happen later down the line. Davis revealed that he has a 6-7 fight deal worth more than Floyd Mayweather's 2013 deal that he signed with Showtime. The Mayweather deal was worth $200 million. To build up his fight with Martin and the Haney fight, Davis pulled up on Team Haney. He first pictured himself alongside Haney's truck, trolling the fighter. That was then followed up by an in-person interaction. Both men were separated by their security as things then de-escalated.
Yeah, you can check that on YouTube. They show that, and, I don't know. I hope these guys, I think eventually, first of all, I think Haney and Davis are eventually going to fight. It may be at a catchweight, but I think it's coming. I think it's definitely coming, and we shall see. I mean, they both fought Ryan Garcia, the disgraced Ryan Garcia, because the fight he had with Haney is probably going to be considered a no contest since it was discovered. Unless Ryan Garcia can prove otherwise, that he had PEDs in the system during that fight. And if it's declared a no contest, then what I said on here prior, a couple of weeks ago, you know, when I said that I was wrong and I thought that, you know, Haney was going to beat him, I will be proven otherwise, as will everyone else who thought they were eating crow with that fight. But let's continue with some news here with Ruth, and I think we will do now the monster. That fight I saw last night, and talking about today is in Bangkok, is Tuesday, May the 7th. So let's hear Ruth talk a little about Inoue on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Naoya Inoue bolstered his claim as the world's best pound-for-pound fighter on Monday when he came off the floor to retain his undisputed junior featherweight championship with a technical knockout of Luis Neri. A sold-out crowd of around 50,000 spectators at the Tokyo Dome was stunned into silence near the end of the opening round when a heavy left hook dumped Inoue to the canvas for the first time in his 12-year professional career. But a hyper-focused Inoue, the unbeaten Japanese star known as the Monster, returned the favor and then some. He knocked down his Mexican opponent in the second and fifth before closing the show with a devastating right hook in the sixth. "I don't remember anything my dad told me in the intermission, but that knockdown happening gave me good motivation," said Inoue, who improved to 27 wins and 27 paying fights with 24 coming by knockout. "I was so focused until the end of the fight."
You know, there are some folks out there who already consider him one of the greatest of all time as far as in the smaller divisions. And he's got to do a little more for me, but he's in my top five as far as pound for pound. And if you want to see my pound for pound list on YouTube, go to Nourished by History, and you can see the pound for pound list I created for May. Also, I have one for April, and I will have one, at the end of the... I'm sorry, the list I created for April, and I'll have one for May at the end of the month, because we've got to see how some of these fights come out, what will happen with the Usyk Fury fight and some other fights out there. So I always wait till the end of the month, and I produce these pound for pound lists with videos, because they show the actual fights on there. So if you like it, and if you got a suggestion, so who should be pound for pound after you look at my list, just give me a holler on YouTube. Just say, hey, you should put this guy in there. You should put this person in there. But anyway, got one more discussion here from Ruth, and this is so sad. This is a real sad one, and it's the hazards of boxing. I mean, we're talking about a violent, brutal, cruel sport. We love it, but we know in the back of our heads this thing is deadly. And she's going to be talking about one of my favorite fighters. And I'm talking about Heather the Heat Hardy. I've loved her over the years, her fights and all. But she's got some things now that, well, Ruth is going to talk about them on this segment on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
A few weeks ago, Heather Hardy was preparing for a bare-knuckle fight against BKFC champion Christine Faria. But now it appears her career is over. The 42-year-old combat sports veteran, who primarily competed in boxing before embarking on a four-fight run with Bellator MMA, announced that she's stepping back from fighting due to repeated concussions, which she stated has left her with brain damage. Hardy was originally scheduled to compete on May 11th in the BKFC title fight with Faria, but was pulled from the bout just days before the event. Now Hardy has broken her silence to explain the medical diagnosis that effectively ended her career. "My fight for May 11th is off," Hardy wrote on Instagram. "After my fight last summer with Amanda Serrano, my vision remained blurred for a few days. I went for an MRI and to get my eyes checked while I was still in Texas, and it was diagnosed the after effects of a concussion. In 6 to 8 months, I should be fine. So basically I needed a fight, and it never got better. My daughter is in college. Everyone thinks I made millions in my career, but I didn't. I went paycheck to paycheck keeping that kid in the best neighborhood so she could go to the best schools. And I needed to take the fight, so long story short, a month into training for Christine and everything got worse with my sight. I was down to 123 pounds because I couldn't eat, I wasn't sleeping, I was so weak. I hadn't told anyone how bad it was, not my boyfriend, not my coaches. I thought I could make it through the 10-minute fight, but after a very light sparring session I couldn't see shit for 2 days. I didn't eat or sleep Friday to Monday, and I knew I was too weak to do this shit. After finally seeing a doctor, he said I've had too many concussions. When you have a concussion, a piece of your brain dies and you never get it back. Imagine that. In 10 years I've had too much brain damage. I can't get any more or else I won't be able to see. No running, no jogging, no jumping rope, and no getting hit in the head." While she never used the word retirement, Hardy closed her statement with "So I said the thing, you know what that means," along with a caption on her video reading, "I'm not fighting May 11th, I have brain damage." Hardy had a late start to her boxing career, debuting in 2012 when she was 28 years old. Despite that, she put together an impressive undefeated run through her first 22 fights. She captured several titles along the way, but suffered her first defeat to Amanda Serrano in 2019. In the rematch this past August, Hardy lost a lopsided decision to Serrano after absorbing 278 punishing punches over 10 rounds.
It is so sad to hear that. I mean, she's really not only a, in my mind, a great fighter and a fun fighter to see. I mean, she, if you've never seen her, consider her like a Arturo Gatti type. Or, you know, someone that, gave their all in the ring. You know, she would always... The sad thing is that, I mean, she took a lot of punishment. And she was a fan favorite, but it caught up to her. You know, and it's sad, and I just hope she gets healthy. Everything will be all right. I mean, she worked hard. And also, she's been one of the proponents of making sure that boxers get insurance, that there's some sort of union. And it's, you know, it's still not the way it should be, but she's been a proponent of that. And she is, you know, fair wages for women fighters. She's always talked about that. And the way she fought and what she did, because she's a headliner, she shouldn't be going paycheck to paycheck each fight. I mean, she should be, you know, should have a lot of money, really. I mean, she should be a millionaire or more. The stuff that she did and what she gave to these various boxing institutions. She deserves so much more. And I hope that someone will reach out for her, to her. Maybe the folks in Saudi Arabia, someone. And just help her. Because she's really a great person, great fighter. You know, one of my, as I said, one of my favorite fighters to see. And I just wish her well. Pray that she, nothing else happens. That by not fighting now, that that will slowly heal her. You know, hopefully that everything will work out. But yeah, it's sad to hear that. But like I said, And as you know, we keep it in the back of our heads. It's in our subconscious. It's like, you know, when we look at these fights. But the fact is, this is a brutal, brutal, brutal game. And it's just something you got to think about. I mean, I would never get in the ring, you know, but it's just something to think about. And just have real, and that's why I really respect these women and these guys, because they put their hearts out in those rings, and nobody's a bum that steps in that ring. Nobody. It takes a lot of courage to get in that ring and to fight. And if you've never done it, don't criticize anyone in that ring. They do their best. They do the best they can. Respect them. Really respect fighters. But anyway, let me get off my platform for a minute here, and let's get back to the show as far as a little fun now, as we're going to get today's event. It's in the junior middleweight class, 12-rounder, and I decided to do this because there's a serious beef going on right now between two former friends, in a sense, but and who I'm talking about is I just mentioned him on this show, Canelo Alvarez, and his beef with Oscar De La Hoya. And I thought they would settle this on my show. And I saw, you know, as this beef has escalated, I've been watching a lot of boxing programs where they've been talking about, they'll ask, you know, former fighters and all, say, well, hey, by the way, what do you think would happen if Oscar fought Canelo? And this is your chance to just imagine that. And as I always say, this is just one fight I put in. I could put this fight in the computer title bout boxing 2. I could put it in 1,000 times, and it may be that 50-50, you know, one wins and the other wins. But this is just one time, and just to imagine what would happen. So get your favorite beverage, sit back, relax, as we have our main man, the one and only. He's got his own fan club, by the way. I'm talking about the one and only Mr. Cheers himself, Knockout Nigel, in his bubbly. So let's get to the ring right now and hear from our commentator today, the one and only, everyone's favorite, Knockout Nigel.
Cheers. This is Knockout Nigel, coming to you from the Thomas and Mack Center in Vegas. A standing room only crowd has turned out for this junior middleweight bout, which has been titled The Bad Blood War, pitting Canelo Alvarez and Oscar De La Hoya. These fighters have been throwing various accusations at each other, talking about everything from money issues to who is the true Mexican warrior. The crowd is divided between both fighters. There have been numerous fights in the stands between Canelo and Oscar fans. In fact, a Canelo supporter tried to take my bubbly from my table to hurl it at an Oscar supporter. Because of that, I have been given a security officer to stand by my table for the duration of the bout. The fight will be judged on the 10-point system. Judges are Tommy Kimmins, Oleg Korotai, and Emo Kaiser. The man in charge of the action is the always dapper Jay Nardi. I will take a quick sip of bubbly as the bell sounds to begin round one. The fighters are at ring center, doing a lot of feinting. They are flicking out jabs to measure distance, but have not connected yet. Alvarez misses with a left cross. De La Hoya misses with a straight right. Alvarez lands a 2-point left uppercut, then misses with a right hook. De La Hoya misses with a right cross. Alvarez misses with a left hook. Both fighters are showing tremendous defensive skills. Alvarez has cut off the ring and pinned De La Hoya in the left neutral corner. Alvarez lands a 2-point left jab. Alvarez misses with a right uppercut. De La Hoya misses with a combination. Alvarez misses a right hook. De La Hoya lands a 2-point left jab. Alvarez grabs De La Hoya in a clinch. The fighters move to ring center after referee Nady separates them. Alvarez lands a 3-point right uppercut. De La Hoya misses with a counter right cross at the bell. That was a feeling out round. I would give the slight edge to Alvarez. Alvarez had 8 points to De La Hoya's 2 in round 1. I have offered this chap who is guarding my table a sip of bubbly, but he has declined. Oh well, I will take two sips for him as round two begins. Alvarez rushes out and lands a three-point left uppercut. De La Hoya lands a two-point left hook. De La Hoya pushes Alvarez into the ropes. De La Hoya misses with a right hook. Alvarez bounces off the ropes and lands a two-point left jab and three-point right hook that causes a minor cut under De La Hoya's right eye. De La Hoya lands a partially blocked one-point right uppercut. De La Hoya dodges a wide left hook to his stomach. Alvarez misses a left hook but scores a two-point combo and two-point left jab. De La Hoya misses with a left hook. Alvarez lands a partially blocked one-point right uppercut. Alvarez lands a solid five-point left cross. That was the best punch of the fight. De La Hoya is knocked into the ropes by that blow. He has been seriously hurt. Alvarez moves in to finish him, but the bell sounds to end round two. De La Hoya walks back to his corner on steady legs. He appears to have weathered that punch. Alvarez dominated the second. De La Hoya seemed tentative to engage with Canelo. Alvarez had 20 points to only 3 for De La Hoya in the second. "Thank you, my good man." The security guard caught a brick that was inches from hitting my face. How someone snuck a brink into this arena, I will never know. There are still fights going on in the stands. Let me calm my nerves with a taste of bubbly as round three begins. De La Hoya comes out and misses with a straight right. Alvarez lands a partially blocked left jab for 1 point. Alvarez misses with a left uppercut. De La Hoya misses with a right jab. Alvarez lands a four-point right uppercut that snaps De La Hoya's head back. They are at ring center. De La Hoya lands a three-point combination, then misses a right hook. Alvarez misses a left hook. De La Hoya lands a two-point right uppercut. Alvarez pivots and lands a five-point left cross that reopens the cut under Oscar's right eye. De La Hoya lands a two-point right hook to the gut. De La Hoya misses with an overhead left as the bell ends round three. Oscar became more engaged in the third. Alvarez still had the more telling blows. He had 11 points to De La Hoya's 7 in the third. Vegas certainly has the best security. This fellow, guarding my table, has been stoic. I have offered him bubbly once again and he has turned me down. Such a kind fellow. I will salute him with a sip of bubbly as round four begins. The fighters meet at ring center. Alvarez lands a two-point left uppercut. De La Hoya misses with a left jab and right uppercut. Alvarez has shown great head movement in this fight. De La Hoya has cut off the ring and pinned Saul Alvarez in the right neutral corner. Oscar De La Hoya misses with a right uppercut but scores a two-point right jab. Alvarez is laying on the ropes, egging De La Hoya to come closer. De La Hoya lands a two-point combination. Alvarez is remaining on the ropes. His corner is telling him to get off of them and start fighting back. De La Hoya scores a solid 5 points right lead that causes Alvarez's knees to buckle. Oscar's best punch of the bout. De La Hoya misses with a left jab. De La Hoya lands a four-point left hook to the gut that captures Alvarez's attention. Alvarez clinches. De La Hoya pushes away and lands a two-point combination, a three-point right hook, and a partially blocked one-point right uppercut. Alvarez misses with a straight right at the bell to end round four. That was Oscar's best round. The Golden Boy wants to make this a fight now. De La Hoya had 19 points in round 4-2 for Alvarez. I have a belief that Alvarez was taking a break in round four. That could be a dangerous ploy, as De La Hoya was hammering him with clean shots. And I will take a shot of bubbly as round five begins. Alvarez comes out and misses with a right cross. The fighters are in ring center. Alvarez is moving backwards into the ropes. He is beckoning De La Hoya to come to him. De La Hoya steps forward and dodges a left hook to the stomach. De La Hoya lands a four-point right hook that snaps Alvarez's head back. De La Hoya misses a left jab but scores a right cross for 3 points. De La Hoya misses with a combination but scores a two-point left hook. Alvarez's corner is screaming at him to get off the ropes. Alvarez does not appear hurt. He has decided to avoid center ring and lay on the ropes. De La Hoya misses with a left uppercut, but lands a two-point combo. De La Hoya misses with a wide left hook. Alvarez ducks under the hook, uses the ropes as a spring to land a five-point right hook to De La Hoya's ribs. De La Hoya's gloves touch the canvas. He falls to his knees in pain. I think his ribs have been broken. De La Hoya is trying his best to get up, but it is obvious the pain is too much. Shades of his bout with Bernard Hopkins. There is no need to count. Referee Nardi has stopped the match at 2:41 of the fifth round. The winner by TKO is Canelo Alvarez. The crowd has been stunned by the turn of events. Alvarez laid a trap for De La Hoya that he fell for. The ring doctor and Oscar's corner are helping him up. Judging by how he is holding his side, Oscar needs to immediately go to the hospital. There is applause for De La Hoya as he leaves the ring. He did his best. Before I go into the ring to interview the victorious Canelo Alvarez, let me sip some more bubbly. Wait! Where is my bubbly? And where is the security guard? I have been informed by one of my colleagues at Press Row that the security guard grabbed my bubbly and left the arena. Why the nerve of that bloke? I am very angry. How dare he? This is Knockout Nigel, your humble commentator, returning you to our Bangkok studio. Cheers. How dare he steal my bubbly?
How dare he? How dare he steal his bubbly? But anyway, poor Knockout Nigel. He just wants his bubbly. He wants to commentate on fights, and he wants his bubbly. That's all he wants. And the security guard, I know one thing. He should have, if I was him, and you're dealing with Knockout Nigel, you better leave the country, because Knockout doesn't play. You know, he doesn't like anyone, not his family, no one that touches bubbly. So that security guard better change his face, everything, change his fingerprints, and just leave the country, and just, you know, because Knockout's coming for him. He's really coming for him. But I hope you enjoyed that fight. I could see, you know, it's surprising, you know, became actually almost deja vu all over again for Oscar as far as his fight with Bernard Hopkins. But, you know, he lost that one, and I could see that happening. I could see something like that happening with Canelo, and also I could see Oscar winning by points. But it was good. I hope you enjoyed the fight. And as I always say, you can be a promoter on the program. Just drop me a note wherever you listen to the program and say, hey, I want to see these two guys fight, or these two women. And I'll be more than happy to fill that request in for you. But as I always say, we always do music on the program because this is about fun. If you take these fights too seriously, I think you will need to see a psychiatrist or something, because it's just fun. It's just fun. But we're going to do some music right now. And I found out a lot of people love the music I play on here. And I've been playing music, way before I did this program. You know, forever, basically. But we're going to do today, I think I'll start you off with Wynonie Harris. And people who know me, they know I love Wynonie Harris. But some of you are new to this program, and you may not know much about Wynonie Harris. But I'll put it to you this way. There are a lot of folks in the early 50s that said that Elvis Presley, his style, the way he shook it, you know, he was shaking his legs and all that, even the style of his hair, the curl on his lips, the clothes he would wear, and the way he would sing, they said he actually took from Wynonie Harris. And Wynonie was a trip. In fact, Wynonie said in the late 50s, he said he saw Elvis. He said, I thought I saw myself. But anyway, let's get to Wynonie now. A couple of songs by him, starting with, I think we'll do, I Like My Baby's Pudding. So let's hear that on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Everybody's talking about chicken and rice. All of those dishes are mighty nice. Gather around, you girls, and listen to me. I want to tell you about my baby's recipe. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. There's a gal named Miss Fanny Brown. She cooks the best gumbo in this town. All of you chicks can really cook, but Fanny Brown's learned something you don't learn in the books. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. 99 times I've tried to eat all those fine fancy cuts of country meat. Just can't eat a single bite. I just don't have the appetite. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. She wouldn't give no one a pudding but me. Yeah, she promised me she wouldn't give no one a pudding but me. But I don't believe her. I'll just have to wait and see. Gonna watch my baby both night and day, so she won't give my pudding away. My baby's pudding is all she owns, so there ain't no meat for Henry Jones. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all.
I've been sitting there drinking all by myself. Yes, I've been sitting here drinking all by myself. It's just whiskey and nothing else. Whiskey, whiskey, whiskey will soon get the best of me. Yes, whiskey, whiskey, whiskey will soon get the best of me. I've been fighting the bottle so long, now I can hardly see. This mean old world has given me a rough way to go.
the devil throws me in his fire.
The one and only Wynonie Harris, and that was Drinking Blues. And before that, we did I Like My Baby's Pudding. And hope you enjoyed that on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. And Wynonie, there are no clips, no film, video, anything of him performing. We only go by what people have said, articles. And there's a book about him I'm trying to find. It's a hard book. There's a biography about him that's out there. Written, I think, in the 70s. I really, would like to get that. But that's why Wynonie Harris, talking about drinking and his baby's pudding. But anyway, and since he did mention a little bit about drinking and eating, I think we'll do right now Hurricane Harry. And this is the last meal. So let's hear that on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Now I heard the warden say, I had one more day, one last meal before they let me away. And he said, if we ain't got it, we'll go out and get it. You don't have to go till we come back with it. So I said, give me two dinosaurs, eggs over easy, fried sugar bread, not too greedy, mosquito meat, black-eyed beef, and a little bit of bowl of butter, bee-bop-beef, a saber-tooth, a tiger stick, a whole hippopotamus, well-baked, two cross-eyed, catfish, and some wavy gravy in the left-hand dish. Now go and get my dinner, go and get my dinner. You ain't got it, go out and get it. I ain't going till you come back with it. A captivating cup of crocodile dill, a purple watermelon and an alligator pill, a bottle of mellow mountain mist, and a female banana I can't resist. Now go and get my dinner, go and get my dinner. You ain't got it, go out and get it. I ain't going till you come back with it. Cocktail in a breeze Alamo, a barbecued brick of chocolate ice cream. Bring me a plate of stewed moonbeam. Now go and get my dinner. Go and get my dinner. Hey, Mr. Watt, you better hear my spiel. I can't go without my last meal.
Oh,
Bit of a Sugar Pie DeSanto. Oh, you don't know her? Oh, yeah, she is a legend. You know, a lot of people don't know her, but she was teamed up with Etta James. Kind of, if you know Amy Winehouse, she kind of stole her, you know, her sound. Listen to her, you know, and also Janis Joplin. They kind of stole that sound, but yeah, Sugar Pie, and she's still around. She's 88 years young, says she's going to be performing this year. Just amazing. But that's Sugar Pie DeSanto, and that was Strange Feeling. Before that, we did the Psych City, was the name of that song. And it was by the Ohio Penitentiary 511 Jazz Ensemble. And they were a group that was in prison in Ohio back in the 70s. And they put out that song, Psych City. And we started that set off with the one and only Hurricane Harry in The Last Meal. Hope it didn't make you hungry. Maybe you want some dinosaur eyes or something. But anyway, we always have fun in here on the Show the Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. But we're going to get ready to get out here right now. And I'm looking at the weather now. It looks like there's going to be another storm soon. So out here looking, you know, enjoying the cool weather for here right now in Bangkok, cool being 86 degrees. But anyway, it's Greg Rashid. Go in love and go in peace. And just remember, you know, every time you wake up, you get up in the morning, get up, go to the mirror, look at yourself, and hug yourself and say, I love myself. If you're sight impaired, get up, hug yourself and say, I love myself. Because if you don't love yourself, you can't do anything. You can't love anyone else. You can't do anything. You can't love anything. But love yourself first and do what you can to make your community, wherever you are in this world, a better place. Do what you can, because this is our sphere We're on this planet together. Do what you can. There's a lot of problems that you see in the news, no matter where you are in this world. Things going on that, in our own way, we can help to stop just negativeness in your community. It starts with just one person working with another person, and it just builds. So don't let your ego get in the way. Love yourself, then love others, and do what you can to make it a better place. But again, this is Greg Rashid with the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. And if you want to reach me again, wherever you're listening to this program, what platform, on YouTube, on Facebook, wherever you're listening to, just drop me a line, as so many people have done, and just say, you know, I want to hear this music, or I want to see these two fighters fight, because you can be a promoter of the program. But again, this is Greg Rashid. Go in love and go in peace. We'll see you next time on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. Take care and have a tremendous, tremendous week.
Thanks for tuning in, my friends. See you next time for another edition of the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. Please don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe to this podcast. Thanks.